That is the second of four servant songs that we are looking at in this Advent series. Last week, we saw that the first servant song of the book of Isaiah talks about that this servant, that this Messiah that's going to come, he's going to bring justice with him. He's going to make every single thing that was wrong, he's going to make it right. Today, we're going to see that this servant is going to bring us redemption and salvation. Those two things are like awesome. You know, redemption, what does that mean? It means that Jesus is going to bring us freedom. A lot of us have some chains on us. We've had some chains on us in the past. There's things that we kind of feel like we can't get out of. We can't stop. There are things that when we do them, we wish we never did them, but it almost feels like we have like slave masters saying, keep doing it. It's weird. It's things that you've probably prayed, God, help me stop. I never want to do that again. And for some weird reason, probably this week, you prayed, God, forgive me of that thing that I never wanted to do again. It's been 1,000 times and I did it again. We have chains on us in mental ways. You know, there might be some mental health things that you might be struggling with. That's chains. Those are things that are weighing on you. There's sin in your life that it does not want you to be free. Jesus came to break those chains. He came to redeem us. His redemption, that's what that word means, is it frees us. Jesus came to free us. The second part that I said we're going to see, he redeems us and he saves us. His salvation is for us. Honestly, we can't do what we need. We can't do what we need to accomplish life. God had to do that. And we're going to see in this servant song that the Messiah that was foretold in the book of Isaiah, that actually a servant is coming. And he's going to bring with him freedom and salvation. That is what our souls need. Some of you need that right now. You know it. You've walked into this space. And you know you have been dealing with some things that you need freedom from. And Advent is a season that renews us. I want to tell you today, it's the strangest thing. The way that you can be free and chains can fall off of you, and the way that you can be saved is that a baby was born. A child was born. It's bizarro, but the story of God is that to free us, he's going to send us a child. He's going to send us a servant, and he himself, interestingly, will become that child. And just to think on that for a moment is probably worth admission into this place. That God would become a helpless babe. So what I need to do is I need to just pray. We need to meet Jesus this morning. We need him to be born in our hearts. We need freedom and we need salvation. So I'm gonna ask him to do his work in us this morning. Let's pray. God, would you set us where you need us to be in this time? Good God, would you even just center us in this moment? God, would you remind us that you love us? Would we just take in your presence and your glory? Just in this little time, and remember the 2,000 years ago, Jesus, you humbled yourself and you put on flesh and you came to live with us. God, would you help us this morning, show us how that changes everything for us? God, would you show us even how waiting, how a season of waiting is what we really need? God, help us long for you today. Help us wait for you today. God, help us see you and meet you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start with, in Isaiah talks about the Messiah in amazing ways. We said this last week. He really shows us that the Messiah is going to be so much different than everyone thought. Everyone thought that the Messiah, the Old Testament, was namely going to be about this Messiah that's going to come and bring political power. He's going to come with power. He's going to set up the nation of Israel as like the strongest nation on earth. And this king would set up this empire that's never going to end, this kingdom that never ends. And as Isaiah comes in, and in these servant songs, he lets us in to, man, this king, this Messiah actually is going to be a servant. He's not going to come and have servants. He is going to come and be the greatest servant. And these four songs that we, again, we went through the first one last week that talked about that he's going to bring justice with him, but he's going to be a servant. This second week, we're going to see he's going to be bringing two things, redemption and salvation. But again, it's going to be a servant. He's going to come in the most abnormal way, a way that no one could really guess. The Old Testament really gives us, Isaiah gives us this incredible picture. And one thing that Isaiah tells us is that the virgin will conceive and bear a son. And I want to start with that prophecy today. One, God's salvation, God's redemption works. His normal path of business is the impossible. Can a virgin conceive? No. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The impossible is how God works in our lives. There are things in your life right now that you think it's impossible. I tried to give this up. I've tried to be free from this. I'm just like this. This is who I am. I want to tell you the greatest hope for us is that a virgin will conceive. The impossible is what God does. This is how he works in us. He works in impossible ways in our lives. He has come to free us. I want to show you this in two different verses. So we're in Isaiah 49. In verse 5, he's going to start with redemption. He's going to really talk about the redemption of Israel. So read with me. This is Isaiah 49:5. This is what Isaiah says. He says this, "And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, that Israel might be gathered to him." This is God actually starts speaking. It says, "And now the Lord says," and it's interesting to actually look at the pronouns. If you have your Bibles out, look at just the pronouns of verse 5, verses 6. If you're English, you remember pronouns are like, if you're an English major, you remember pronouns are like he, she, it. Those are pronouns. Look at the pronouns in verse 5. Do you see it? It says, "And now the Lord says," and then what pronouns come up? "He who formed me from the womb has made him to be his servant, to bring back Jacob to him, that Israel might be gathered to him." So what I want you to hear is this is actually Jesus' voice. This is particularly Jesus' voice. So he's saying he, That's God the Father formed me from the womb to be God's servant, to bring Jacob back to God the Father, that Israel might be gathered back to him. Do you see that? This is Jesus speaking. In the next verse, you're going to see some pronouns change. This is like a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. God the Son speaks first. And he's saying, God formed me. The Spirit is showing us in this verse that the Father formed the Son to be the servant. And Jesus knows what he's come to do. What has he come to do? He's come to bring Jacob back to him, to bring Israel back to him. If you know anything about your Old Testament, Jacob actually has a different name. Jacob has two names. Do you know Jacob's other name? Israel. He's talking about the same person, right? To bring Jacob back to him is the same thing as bringing Israel back to him. He's talking about God's people, the nation of Israel. He's talking about, if you remember, God comes to a person named Abraham. And he says, you're the least in the whole world, and I choose you. And I'm going to make you my people. And you, my people, are going to be a blessing to every people in the entire world. And that's when the nation of Israel kind of begins. And it really gets solidified with Jacob. This prophecy is saying that God's coming, Jesus is coming to redeem his people, the nation of Israel, to himself. The story of redemption, which is again freedom, is the biggest story. It's kind of one of the greatest themes in the Old Testament. If you know anything about the nation of Israel, famine comes upon the land. And Jacob's sons have to do something about it. They go down into Egypt. And what happens in Egypt? They actually have kind of a great few years. There's famine, but they're actually fed in Egypt. They flourish. But sooner or later, this king dies, this Pharaoh dies, that forgets Joseph, who was a major key component. He was like second in political command. And the nation of Israel becomes enslaved. They're enslaved for 400 years to the nation of Egypt. In this picture in the Old Testament of God's people being in slavery is a picture that we see all the time throughout Scripture. God wants to remind his people that slavery is something that they do not exist to be part of. They were enslaved for 400 years, and God comes and redeems them out of slavery. How does he redeem them out of slavery? If you remember the story, an event called the Passover takes place. It's a very extreme event. Moses has been sent by God to the Egyptian Pharaoh to free the people of Egypt. And Pharaoh just keeps on seeing amazing signs of what God can do. But Egypt and the Pharaoh just keep on saying, no, we're not freeing God's people. We're not freeing the people of God. No, no, no. And it happens 9 times. And on the 10th time, God says, I'm going to free you. I'm going to free you from this, your slave masters. And the way I'm going to do it is there's going to be this spirit that comes down, and it is going to kill the firstborn of every house. I mean, it's a very violent story, but God gives his people a warning. If every family takes a lamb without spot, sacrifices that lamb, and puts the blood of that lamb on the doorpost of their house, that spirit that was going to kill the firstborn of every house would pass over the house. And the night comes, and God's people put the blood on the doorpost of their home, and this violent act happens. The spirit comes, and death kind of comes upon the land of Egypt, and the Pharaoh says, get out of here. We're letting you guys go. And that picture is what the Bible, that's the main picture of redemption in the Old Testament. They were freed from their slavery. The people of God were actually commanded, after they're free, they're out of Egypt and they're in the promised land, you need to observe this every year. Every single year, you are to have a Passover meal. You are to gather, and you are to remember that you once were slaves, but now you are free. The Bible actually, again, gives us that picture all over that we have been enslaved. It uses our sin doesn't just want us as a friend. Our sin in our life wants to be our slave masters. It is exactly like Egypt. The sin in your life is seeking to get every single ounce of your strength, your vitality out of you for its pleasure. And it is working. It will work you literally to death. And you know it. There are things in your life that when you sin against God, you hate that you do it. And for some weird reason, you are even thinking, why did I do that again? And it's like your sin is just whipping you. And you wake up every morning and you feel like, why am I doing this again? Why did I talk to that person like that? Why am I thinking the thoughts that I'm thinking? Why? Because your slave will not have you as a buddy. Your sin demands of you, it will be your slave master. The people of Israel, even though they had gotten out of Egypt, you know what? They went right back into sin. And even at the end of the Old Testament, they're back in the promised land. In the end of the Old Testament, actually, it's a very interesting verse in Ezra, mentions that they were still actually in exile. They were back home. Why are they still in exile? Because they were still in their sin. And that is the world that Jesus came into. The servant in this passage was going to do a better Passover. The way he was going to free us and them from their sins was going to be exactly like how God did his work thousands of years before. But this time, the true Lamb of God was coming. Who is Jesus Christ? How does he free us from our sins? He doesn't make us a better person. He doesn't just encourage us to, hey, if you just do these things, you'll be done with your sin. Jesus was the Lamb of God who was slain for our sins. The way he frees you is he died for you. What you need this morning is to stop being religious and meet the real Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was slain. I mean, it is incredible. The last meal that we see with Jesus right before he goes to the cross, you know what meal he's having? He's having Passover meal. The last meal before he goes to the cross is the Passover meal. He was going to go redeem his people. And he says, this is my body that's broken for you. This is my blood that is shed for you. The way Jesus redeems us, the way he frees us, is he dies for us. And he gave us this meal that now we don't take Passover every week. We don't take Passover once a year. You know what we take? We take Jesus Christ. We, every single week here, the most important thing we do is we come forward and we come to Jesus and his broken body. And we come to his blood and we take him himself in this mysterious place where we come and we need, each of us in this room, we need redemption and freedom in him. I love the song, O Holy Night. We're going to sing this song today, but this song actually shows this. In this line, I think it's the second verse of the song, but it says, chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. This is not talking, each and every one of us was a slave. And the miraculous thing in this room is when we sing, I get to remember, he broke my chains. I'm now your brother. The slave is now a brother. We get to look around at each other and say, man, chains, he breaks chains of sin on us. He frees us. And he does it, to be honest, breaking chains is the hardest thing for you, is the hardest thing in my life. For him to free me from my sin, you know what he's had to do? Is kind of break me down a lot of times. It's not the easiest thing. For you to have freedom, to be honest, he's going to take you down this interesting path that he just has. He's made it for you. But I'm telling you, it's awesome when he makes slaves our brother. And when he brings us into this new family, we sing to that God that brings redemption to us. In verse 6, we're going to see in Isaiah 49, he brings salvation. Read with me this passage. He says, now we've got a new voice in this passage. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant. Or it is it. Too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. I love this. God speaks back to him and he actually repeats. It's very, very similar. If you look at verse 5 and verse 6, you're like, man, there's some real incredible similarities. It's like they're saying the same thing back to each other. Yeah, you're my servant. This is God speaking to his son. I'm going to make you, I'm raising you up for the tribes of Jacob, the preserved of Israel. However, a light comes into this part of the scripture. And says, I will make you as a light, not just for the people, my people, for the nations. This is what hits home with a lot of us. Not many of us in this room are Jewish by birth. This verse is what we long for and hope for. God saved us. We are the ones at the ends of the earth. God started with his people. He saved his people, the nation of Israel. The chosen people of God, but Jesus Christ was not for them alone. God is saying, I will make you as a light for everyone, for all the nations, and my salvation will go to the end of the earth. It will reach the very end of the earth. We just sang part of this line in Joy to the World, where we say, far as the curse is found, The curse is found till the ends of the earth. God's going to bring his blessing. He's going to reverse that curse all the way to the very ends of the earth. The curse of sin has gone through to all people and all nations. And the way God is coming to save his people, again, is through himself. This is a wondrous thing. Jesus' name is Yeshua in the Hebrew. You know what that word means? It's kind of the same as Joshua. It means salvation. The angel even tells us as we read the Gospels, if you get to read the Gospel of Luke, you shall name him Yeshua. You shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people. The amazing thing that I want you to know this morning, and I want you with all confidence to know this morning, is he will save you. He will save his people. There is no doubt. There is no shadow. He will save his. This is the amazing thing about the gospel. Are you in chains? Do you need to be saved? God promises to do it. It's not on you. He is working right now. For some of you, he may be birthing in your heart right now. He might be bringing him, making him alive to you at this moment. He will save you. He will redeem you. He will free you. He will free us from all of our sins. It is not based on us. It is based on Jesus. That is his name. His name is salvation. Jesus came for us. How are we saved? Jesus. A baby was born. I was thinking about this morning. First impressions are just so important. I like tweeted it out. You might have seen this, so you can tune out to this part of the sermon if you saw my tweet. But I was literally just praying this morning, and I was thinking, man, I was trying to go in my mind, you know, visit where Jesus was born. What would be the first impression of the visible God? First impressions are important. A helpless baby is a very interesting first impression. My first impression would be to care for the baby, to hold him, to feed him, to change him, to rock him, to love him. That's a cool first impression. When humanity had the chance to see God for the first time, that's a great impression. He did not come to enslave you. He did not come to be this God that's master over all. I think in a lot of ways, he wants you to weirdly take him in your arms. Care for him. It's weird. You need that. You need to take the Messiah this morning. He has come to save you, to free you. And he did it in the weirdest way. He did not bring his armies. He brought himself as a helpless child. This God is amazing. He has loved you. He will save you. He will redeem you. He is working in your life. And my prayer is this morning, you would see that he is freeing you from sin. There is sin in your life. It is so hard on you. I know it. He is working. He's working in ways that you don't know. You're struggling. He will save you from your sins. If you do not have faith in this Jesus this morning, I want to ask you, I want to beg you, meet him. This God's so different. He wants your life. He wants abundant life for you. He was born to die for you and to raise to new life for you so that you might not ever see death. That is amazing. Let me pray for us. Jesus, would you work in this room? would you come? You know every single individual in this room, and you love every single individual one of us, and I don't know what everyone needs here. I know they need you. And so God, visit them today or invite them to just come and see you. Just maybe stand back and just look in and see your glory. God, do what you need to do in this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.